Welcome to MikeyPod episode 115, where I am still amazed about how masculine my voice sounds with this microphone and this whole new setup. Thanks again to Jordan for that. And what was I going to tell you? Yeah, today's guest is Ann Karp from the Koinonia community in Americus, Georgia. She's also the featured artist for this month at MikeyPod. She designed the cover art, which you may be looking at right now on your iPod or your computer or wherever you listen to this. And you can see some more of her artwork at my website, MikeyPod.com, her Flickr site, etc. You'll hear about all that later. But first, the lovely and talented Kimya Dawson, who I just saw this past Sunday, and I adore ever the more. This song is called Viva La Persistence, and it's provides a perfect commentary for me about consumption and how much we all think we need here in the lovely United States. And I felt it was perfect for a Koinonia-inspired show as well. So listen to this, and following the song, you'll hear me and Ann Karp having our lovely conversation. Enjoy.
I dreamed I thanked Scotty Ian for persistence of time. Back when Steve and Eva died, that album changed my life. It was a package of pure darkness tied up with a silver string, delivered by a fast train, rearranging how I think. He said, I can't believe you even know that I exist. I've got all of your albums and I think you are the best. He started to cry and I started to laugh. I gave him a hug and he gave me his autograph. Reeling in my disbelief, I know that it was just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break, he works all day every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby. Here's a simple dissertation on a complex situation. Money and intimidation and mass graves make strong foundations for the giant corporations that own all the TV stations, telling us to take vacations to their big theme park plantations rather than to hearts of nations where we might meet people on the street who say, I don't want my MTV, 'cause it brought Viva to its knees. And mom and pop are begging, please, globalization's killing me. While we think that they think they need all of the things we think we need, like Martha Stewart shams and sheets and sugar-free powdered iced tea, vanilla Coke, lemon Pepsi, Friends episodes on DVD. Doctor of psychiatry, weapons of mass instruction finally broke me. He said, act your age, don't be afraid, take two of these. Now listen real hard, put down that guitar. Don't be a retard, be all that you can be. The things he said I could be were laid out right in front of me. Would I choose deep fried apathy, McNuggets where my ball should be, or supersized conformity? I walked away and I'm still me. Free to go fucking crazy, free to know why I'm angry. One and one and one is three, and you and me is all I need. Singing songs, drawing cocks, picking locks to locked doors, find deflated hearts and pump them up.
Okay, you just heard Viva La Persistence by the great Kimya Dawson, who I just saw live, but we'll get into that later. Joining me live via recording is Ann Karp, the featured artist this month on MikeyPod with like a delayed interview. I always like find myself rambling on and on before saying, hi, Ann, welcome to the show.
Hi, I was wondering when you're going to say hi. No, hello.
Hello. She's joining us from Koinonia, where some of you who've been listening for a long time know that I spent 4 months, and I'm staying in touch with everyone there, and well, almost everyone there, I guess. And yeah, she seemed like a perfect choice to do the artwork. I think, in fact, it was a conversation with you about just doing a new kind of artwork for the website that started the whole idea of doing a new artist every month. So yeah, welcome.
Thanks.
So you've been at Koinonia for how long?
4 years.
Four long, grueling years.
Which for me is long. I kind of am one of these people who I seem to have an expiration date and then I move to someplace else. So this is long.
Yeah. So what was the longest you stayed somewhere before that?
Well, when I was a child, I didn't have much choice about where I was. So I stayed in the same place for many years. But no, I don't know. Well, since I've at college, you know, 4 years, but yeah, 4 years is really, and it's funny because actually in May, Jay, my sweetie, and I are going to be hitting the road. So I guess I still have that expiration date so far.
Yeah. So when you say hitting the road, I haven't really even been clear on this. Are you leaving Koinonia permanently, or do you even know that yet?
Well, we don't even know that yet, but we just felt, I don't know, maybe wanderlust would be the word for it. And just like it was time to start something new. We met at Koinonia. We were one of the many Koinonia romances. Not that this is prescribed or required to, you know, debunk any sort of cult ideas, but we met and fell in love here. And so we've actually never really known each other living in a place besides Koinonia. So we're kind of curious about that. And you were probably not clear on what we were doing because we weren't clear, but we were actually mapping out our route today and
going to drive.
Yeah, we have to acquire a vehicle. That's our big job. And we're like sixth graders trying to figure this out, really. We don't know what we're doing, but we're going to ramble through somehow. But we hope to swing by New York at some point. So.
Oh, that would rock.
Yes.
Sweet. You know what we should do is backtrack a little bit, because I think there are people who listen to the podcast now who may not have been like was it a year and a half ago? I've been in New York for 1 year. So it's been like a year since I left Koinonia. My math is really good. Right. So anyway, you're a perfect person to talk about what Koinonia is, being part of the hospitality committee.
Tour guide, yes.
Tour guide. So can you maybe give a nutshell of what Koinonia is?
Yeah, we're a nut farm,
in
a nutshell. Koinonia is an ancient Greek word, and it is used in the Bible a lot, and it means, roughly translated, loving community, not just a community, but so a very tight community. So it's a farm, it's a pecan farm, rural Georgia. We're not near Atlanta, we're not near any city you've heard of in Georgia, there's about 573 acres here, and the community's been around since 1942, so it's got a lot of history. 65 years, I guess that would make it. And it was founded by a couple of Baptists, four Baptists, actually, a couple of Baptists, to be a demonstration plot for the kingdom of God. So, you know, slightly idealistic, but really neat. I mean, set your standards high by all means. They saw too much emphasis in the religious culture of the day on the kingdom of God and heaven being something beyond the world and later, and it's just a reward, but they wanted to make it here and now. So that was their whole idea, and in their here and now, as they chose rural Georgia in the 40s for their location, there was Jim Crow, there was anti-communist feelings. So it was actually kind of a hard row to hoe. So it has pretty amazing history in terms of civil rights and the Red Scare and all these things, and peacemaking. It was based in peacemaking and simple living, and it has done a lot of social justice stuff over the years, and probably its big claim to fame is that it's the birthplace of Habitat for Humanity. That happened in the 60s, late 60s. So there's actually houses here that were precursors to the Habitat homes, of which there are now, I think, over 200,000, something
damn
astonishing like that. And so this little community, we still are here, and there's about 22 adults and 9 kids and interns and visitors, and we are still doing what we originally set out to do, and yeah, so here we are.
Yeah, I love that Habitat started there, because that's sort of, when I start telling people about having just been there for 4 months, you may get this look, I'm sure you do, from people who you say you live in this, oh, I live in a community, blah, 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 and they start getting that glazed over, like almost fearful look.
Yeah, or the phrase intentional community is not really common phrase, and so it starts sounding like techno speak or something almost.
Right.
Yeah.
But then if you throw out the Habitat thing, people are like, oh, okay. I know.
Yeah,
that.
Almost everybody knows what that is. It's incredibly pervasive. That sounds like a negative word, but I don't mean it to be that way.
Yeah, it doesn't sound. No, it sounds like a neutral word to me.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
just give
good
me the extra encouragement.
Oh, I guess invasive would be more like a weed. So no,
yeah,
pervasive.
True.
All right, pervasive is okay. Invasive, not so much.
So, yeah. So you've been there for 4 months. I mean, 4 years.
Years.
Months,
yes,
was my gig. And so, gosh, I mean, there's so many possible ways we could go with all of this. Like, what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned living at Koinonia?
Well, it's hard to ascribe exactly what I learned because of Koinonia and what just happened to be taught to me in my life at this point. So but I think that a big one was, since I've lived here, I've become so much more grateful, and not just because I am also lucky, which I think happens to be the case. I feel lucky too, but grateful, you can be grateful even if you're unlucky, I think. And just a lot of things that have happened since I've been at Koinonia have just made me realize, wow, this is, you know, great big world, and here I am living on this beautiful, beautiful piece of land, and, you know, sort of daily practicing that. So that's a big thing. I was talking with another community member, Sanders, a couple nights ago, hanging out in his dome-shaped home, experimental building technique of the 70s, and he was speaking of Koinonia, and he's been here for 13 years or so, I think, had children here and raised them here, and he was talking about Koinonia as a mother entity, as a nurturing divine mother. I was kind of resonating with that. Not that I'm really into motherhood personally, but it just does seem like a nurturing place for a lot of people. And so I definitely feel like a lot of wonderful stuff happened to me while I was here. Like meeting Jay, for instance.
You know, I think that's like what's so cool about Koinonia. And really, I feel like it's funny for me to be like, well, I learned at Koinonia in my 4 months, which really is a short amount of time, although it didn't seem like that sometimes.
Yeah. When you're on the phone and entering orders. Yeah, no, there's something magical, too, about seeing a whole cycle of seasons here. And that's probably nothing new to anybody who grew up on a farm. But for me, an urban/suburban kid, that was new and really neat to see how things came back around again, but it's a little bit different. And you see, you know, this flower only happens every other year. And so even just naturally, you know,
yeah,
a whole year.
You mentioned that, too. Like, when I first got there, that was one of the things you told me you loved about it. Watching the seasons change, yeah.
The natural world?
Yeah, or the season change specifically, you said. Which I think,
oh, yeah. Yeah, for some reason, fall. I mean, I haven't had a whole lot of years to sort of sense my rhythms and whatnot, but fall seems like a really creative period for me. I think there's something about all the leaves dying and sort of this turning inward, this inward focus, especially after it's been so blasted hot here for 3 months. I mean, I definitely notice that I get more irritable in the summers, and I don't blame myself, of course. I'm not responsible for that as the heat. But anyway, yeah, fall, the cooler weather, all of it just, or something about it, I guess. Maybe it's even the change in the amount of daylight we get. I'm not sure, but I just start wanting to do artistic stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. I like it.
Speaking of artistic stuff, let's talk about your art.
Okay. Okay.
So one of the things when we were talking before the interview was about how it, in some ways, and maybe I misunderstood this, correct me if I'm wrong, that you feel like you're at a starting point with your artwork in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, actually, you got me right, but thinking about it, I mean, I'm not just starting this. I've been drawing pretty much ever since I could hold up a pencil. I mean, you know, you could shut me up instantly in a restaurant if I was fussing, and perhaps my parents would contradict this always that I put in there, but, you know, just giving me a pen and I'm good to go on the placemat. But I feel like I'm trying to focus and exercise discipline, neither of which come exactly naturally to me. So it's neat as we enter winter and spring to see if I can sustain this without the sort of fall energy going through. But yeah, I just, it was actually a year ago, and I remember talking with you about it, Mikey, when we were jogging in the pecan orchard some afternoons, and that I wanted to, that art in me was like this little growing thing, and I had been sort of ignoring it, but it wouldn't quit growing, you know, like, not like kudzu, but maybe just something smaller and humbler. And I committed at the beginning of 2007 that I don't really make New Year's resolutions. I make intentions. And I wanted to really listen to that little plant and try to let it grow and water it. And so I wrote on my daily planner, water the plant, and try to do little things. And so it's interesting to see what helps and what doesn't help. But just the generosity of the universe through individual people and opportunities and stuff has been great so far. So I'm really excited, and I think the more positive thinking I can put into it, the better it'll all turn out.
Have any of these happened in 2007, or did all of them?
Oh, I think all of them except this Machine Kill Fascists, which I did, I think, in 2005. Jay actually asked me to do it because he's a big Woody Guthrie fan, and I kind of took it and ran with it. But the watercolor happened just a couple months ago. The leaves were a fall product, obviously. And, gosh, what was the other one?
It's the...
Lizzie Mack.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that happened since I got the opportunity to teach some classes in art for the Koinonia kids. And so Hakeem actually inspired me to do that one. He was looking through the photo book and said, oh, cool, I want to draw her. Look at the braids. I want to know how to draw those braids. And I took it home and tried to figure it out. And, you know, he's right. The braids are the hardest thing to do on her for some reason. So, yeah, so they're all pretty recent, except for this machine.
I didn't know that you were doing art classes for the kids there.
Yeah, well, actually, I haven't started up again since product season, but one of the interns, Anna, just asked if at first I could teach just her kids, Ana Laura and Adriana, you know, because they love to do art. And so I said, well, I'll invite the Thornburg kids, and I'll invite Hakeem and Quincy. And Quincy wasn't so into it, but Hakeem is, and they're all just so talented. I just love it. I mean, people are always saying, oh, I can't do art, I can't do this and that, but these kids are really, they'll just look at things, and you can just tell the energy. And when there's that, well, you're a teacher, you know this feeling, but there's that magic silence when you can get hyperactive or just whatever, any kind of kids just completely immersed and absorbed in what they're doing. And it's this magical, all you can hear is scritch, scritch, scritch of the pencils, and you know, they're just wrapped, and you look around, and they're all, like, licking their lips or biting their tongues or sort of grunting or, you know, whatever it might be. So it's been fun. I should start it up again.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Like, yeah, those kids, I miss Koinonia. It's official. But, yeah, like, seeing those kids, and, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you miss everywhere.
I do.
Know? It's really interesting. I don't know if I've met somebody who misses everywhere all at once. It must make life very sweet, but very hard.
It is. I had never really like thought of it that way, but I really do, because I'm constantly like, I think I'm pretty satisfied with where I am right now, but I often like wish that I could like live in a lot of different places.
Well, don't you just kind of want to be everywhere and do everything and know everyone and, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Is that so wrong?
You'll have to wait till we're all in another dimension, I suppose.
Yeah, sadly. So also you're teaching English as a second language classes too. Am I right?
Yeah, I started that last April, and I'm completely unqualified for that. Full disclosure. I mean, okay, I speak English. Yeah, so I'm teaching English, but it's been really a learning curve for me. But I just realized that I needed to do something really tangibly service oriented, completely for other people. Nothing in it for myself, of course. I have gotten so much out of it, as you might just guess.
But
yeah. And you know, I guess I assumed that, you know, oh, it's going to be all Mexicans. It was actually a guy who worked at the Fair Trade coffee place in town, Cafe Campesino, and he also works at Habitat. And he said, you know, I go to the Catholic Church, and I think there's a need, and so I sort of researched this, and you know, the church provides the space, and they actually have a set of DVDs and books and workbooks and even some really hokey videos with great 80s, 90s hairstyles in them.
Oh, cool.
And so we have that, but I often end up researching things like Armando, he's a younger man, and he was asking me, how do you say, and then he said in Spanish, I feel something very special for you. You know, he must be wooing somebody. And so I'm like doing his investigative work for, you know, how to woo someone in English. So there's often these interesting questions that come up, or even, I don't know, just the funniest things come up that we'll realize that, oh, you know, I know this in Spanish, I don't know this in English. Like, how tall are you? You know,
you can
say it in metric, but not in inches. And I had this man named Emilio, and he's like 4 feet tall. And he told me he was 13 feet tall. And so we brought a tape measure, and we figured it out. And it's just a lot of fun. Just people are just, they're just so sweet. And then a whole family came out to Koinonia for Thanksgiving. I invited them for Thanksgiving dinner, and we just partied all afternoon. It was great. So it's been wonderful.
Oh, that's cool. And you have like this sort of willingness to just go with something like that, you know, where I don't know, in that sort of situation, I might let the fear of doing it the wrong way sort of stop me from doing like the great job that it sounds like you're doing. I don't know if that.
Well, I don't, you know, I suppose you'd have to ask my students as to how much they've actually learned, but and it's a small class too, and I'm okay with that. Actually, I think a big class would be daunting for me, but it's anywhere between like 2 and 6 people a week. But then you can give more individual attention. But yeah, and I've been learning a lot of Spanish too, you know, brushing up on it. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't mind plunging ahead and kind of looking like an idiot sometimes. I think that actually traveling to Latin America, I was a Latin American studies major in college, and so I spent a semester in Nicaragua, and that really pretty much cured me of fear of feeling like an idiot because I'm messing up my language. You just have to go forward, and it feels like you're pushing your personality through a sieve or a funnel if you don't have complete fluency in the second language, and like they're only seeing this tiny little fragment of you, but so you just keep wanting to cram more and more, rip the funnel out. But it's fun, though.
All right. So we're kind of running out of time. But before we finished, I wanted to throw out all the info about how to get a hold of your work. And also, you're open for commissions, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I love it. It's always a good challenge. So I just got finished doing, actually, a 50th birthday card for a playwright who visits here a lot. So I'm... they're like, something for a birthday. What? You know, Clarence Durden. All right. So, yeah. So the odder, the better, actually. I really enjoy something new.
Yeah, cool. So if you check out her work at MikeyPod.com and also at your Flickr. Do you know the address of the Flickr?
You know, yeah. It's Flickr.com, which is FLICKR.com/photos/alpha new, like the Greek letters. So, and then there's, from there you can link to the art and design collections.
So if somebody wanted to commission something, should they just...
can just send me a message. There's Flickr Mail. I don't know if that's what it's called, but basically,
Or can we give your email address too, just in case?
Yeah, sure. And I have this funny image of, you know, you're not supposed to put it on a web page, but if I'm saying it, you know, I don't think a web spider can pick it up. I'm like, should I do like parenthesis dot dot? No, okay.
You can say that if you want.
Cut to the chase, Anne. Yeah, it's just my name, Anne Elizabeth Karp at hotmail.com. And so that's Karp with a K.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show. And actually, it was a long time coming because of all my technical issues. So thanks for being available at the last, well, sort of the last minute to do this. And it was delightful.
My pleasure.
So, yeah. So we're going to end the show with this cover of Send in the Clowns by Stephen Sondheim, which I knew that Anne likes Stephen Sondheim. So I'm having these awkward moments.
It's for me.
So this goes out to Anne Karp. And this is the Tiger Lilies with Sin and the Clowns. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, and you in midair. Send in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, and clowns, send in the clowns. Just when I stopped opening doors, finally knowing the one that I wanted yours. Don't you love fuss? My fault, I fear. I thought that you wanted what I wanted. Sorry, my dear. Making my entrance with unusual flair, sure of my lines, no one is there. Isn't it rich? Isn't it queer? Losing my timing this late in my career. And where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe next year.